Echo 365.
Kate Delaney, America Tonight, coming up in this hour of the show. Politics, politics, and more politics. I'm kidding. We have a lot of things that we're going to get to, not just politics, although when you come back to the root of it, it's all about politics these days, isn't it? And why not? Of course, we're furious over what's happening in this country. I think the water cooler buzz now is over a couple of things. Not so much, okay, the election's over, let's talk about the results. It's looking forward to 2012, and what in the world is going on with our monetary system? First, you piggyback off the failed economic stimulus. You look at the fact that most people can't get loans. Unemployment is sky high. We keep hearing about these jobs, but where are the jobs? And then Ben Bernanke, in all his wisdom, the Federal Reserve chairman, decides, let's pump out some treasury bonds. In other words, inflation, baby. It's all about that. And it's that same circle that keeps coming around and around and around. It's like we're on a carousel, but we're not kids, so it's not fun. We're going around on the carousel, and where I used to say, reach out and grab the brass ring, they're trying to pull that brass ring far away from us. It's getting tougher to grab that brass ring these days, isn't it? Daryl Issa is going to be the top cop, no doubt, when it comes to looking for accountability from the Obama administration. And he talked earlier in the day about no more earmarks. We're done with those. And also tax cuts. Here's Issa.
There's no question. The Republicans taking over the House, there will not be earmarks. That era is behind us. If anything, this is wrong-minded. In some ways, you should say, look, if you invest today, we'll let you get a better deal 3, 4, 5 years from now, because that's how you create jobs. Hopefully, we'll come to a compromise that does allow people to make decisions beyond just this tax year.
All right, that's the key. I mean, you know, that's why I was for the whole freezing of taxes, of not having them go up, because if you're trying to let people bounce back, for goodness sake, and we're talking about, now you hear Paul Volcker, the economic advisor to the president, saying, geez, there's really no answer for this, and we're going down this path, and we're hoping that, yeah, in a year, maybe 2 years. So every year, it's like, we hope next year, well, maybe next year. And then the foreclosure debacle, that's just heaped more of the bad news into the economic forecast of the future. Look around you. Imagine yourself in the house that you're in right now for the next 10 years. Can you imagine it? Good, because you probably will be. You won't be able to get the value out of your home unless you're really, really lucky and you're one of those location, location, location spots. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer right here at the top of the show. We're just calling it like we see them. And this is the stuff that we've been talking about for years on America Tonight. I mean, I'll repeat this if you just tuned in and you have no idea what the show's about and who I am and what we're doing. Part of the reason that I jumped to America Tonight is the frustration over the gridlock in Washington, D.C. The Beltway, to me, is always about excuses that we have. This syndrome that we accept of reaction instead of action. I mean, we're not a nation of idiots. We have some smart people in this nation. Certainly, there were ways to avoid some of what we're seeing that's happening to us now. I mean, you know, you're going to have hills and valleys and peaks and all that. I'm not saying there's no 100% across the board. But especially what we're seeing with the Federal Reserve. I think the best thing that happened is now there's going to be some accountability when it comes to the monetary process. Really, the audit of the Federal Reserve, the suggestion that Congressman Ron Paul has been talking about forever, I think that this will actually happen, and this is a good thing. You know, the whole idea that power corrupts and manipulates and all that stuff? Well, that's what I think we've seen with the Federal Reserve, because it's untouchable. And when it's untouchable, We know what happens when you go down that path, right? All right, we have a couple of big headlines to hit right now at this hour here on ATN, including this crazy thing about the cruise ship. Someone just, in fact, sent me a text off air about this. There is a big cruise ship that's adrift off of San Diego. It's been that way, and it's because of a fire. It's an engine room that caught fire, and it was headed for Mexico, and it's a Carnival Cruise Line. So it broke out on Monday in the morning, and it was outside of the Baja coast. You have, you know, 32, almost 4,000 guests, I guess I'll say. And then when you have that many guests, of course, you got to have the crew for that. So over 1,100 crew are on that ship, too. They were able to get the fire out late in the afternoon, but they still couldn't restore power, and they decided to say, forget it, to the crew, so just terminate it. So the U.S. Coast Guard says it and the Mexican Navy went out to try to provide some kind of assistance to the cruise line. Wouldn't that be the worst? You know, the people on that cruise ship, because it was a short cruise, who knows, they got some bargain deal or they want a cruise or whatever. But you're just not expecting, when you hear about these cruise nightmares, that it's going to actually happen to you. Nothing like being adrift off the coast after a fire, and then they finally put the fire out, huh? Whew. Crazy. Anyway, that apparently those people are going to be okay, and that was what my text was about, that everything looks like it's going to be fine. So thank goodness. I think it's going to be fine, too, for a Connecticut doctor who, unfortunately, has to move forward in his life without his two daughters and his wife, as they were murdered at the hands of two wild killers who set off a chain reaction of just the most horrific night you can imagine. Back in 2007, they burst into a home and they strangled a woman and her two daughters, tied them to the beds, left them to die in a gasoline-fueled fire. But thank goodness, now these many years later, there's not much thank goodness in this, that the jurors in New Haven Superior Court voted unanimously to send Stephen Hayes to death row after they deliberated for about 4 days. So now the judge in this case will actually impose the sentence in the beginning of December. And I love what the judge said. I'm going to repeat it because this is exactly how I feel about the death penalty, especially when I believe the evidence was certainly there. He was convicted justly so and admitted to it. But what the judge said was apologized to the jury and said, you know, you've been exposed to images of depravity and horror that no human being should have to see. And that nails it pretty much there. No human being should have to go through that either. And unfortunately, this innocent family victimized, and now Dr. William Pettit, who was the husband and father of the victims, you know, he came out and said, this verdict is not about revenge, but he moves forward and tries to catch, I guess, some kind of a break in probably the very heavy heart that he carries around. All right, meet us on the flip side. We got some interesting odds and ends.
Special announcement for our Renaissance Charge customers. Have you ever wondered what it would take to make your car run on 100% electric power? What about making a motor into a generator? How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you money? Because you, our customers, asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Conference Workshop on November 13th and 14th at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but for the first first time, you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Register now while there's still room left to participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy Tesla technology. Visit r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
And I know you're speaking of me.
All right, remember the president? Remember this oil spill we had that we were talking about constantly here on the show since, April all the way through the summer? We didn't know when it was going to be capped off and where the oil was going to spread and how many beaches would be damaged and what was going to happen to all the shrimpers and the people who made their living along the entire Gulf Coast and Mississippi and Louisiana and Alabama and Florida. Well, there was this spill panel. So the idea was find out what happened. And the spill panel in a nutshell says, well, there were a lot of risks that were taken and geez, there were some bad calls that were made right before the platform exploded. Most of the focus was on Halliburton's cement job and then the BP decisions on what they did and how they used the information that they were given, if that makes sense. Now, we remember there was, of course, there was poor judgment here with the well blowout and the explosion. Remember, 11 people died in this, too. And the findings, like I said, focused on the seal and how it was drilled and the tests that were done to check on the cement and what did BP ultimately do, how to plug the well, and they've got a two-day hearing that started on Monday that included testimony from British Petroleum and the main contractors in this thing, Halliburton, Transocean. They owned the Deepwater Horizon rig that that caught on fire. And the seven-member commission, Fred Bartlett Jr., who is the chief investigator, is saying that he agreed with the about 90% of BP's findings, but the company left out some critical details, and there were other areas where the panel's investigations will conflict. Really? So, I mean, that's what you're coming up with here? That the additional risks that were actually put in this report by Bartlett and the staff included the timing of the decision to remove the heavy mud and the plugs that were the barriers against the blowout, and what the narrative is and the headlines that were pretty dominant since this happened in April 20th and the 11 people that were killed and 175 million gallons of crude that was pumped into the Gulf of Mexico, and what were they doing, and were they trying to save money? I mean, of course they were trying to save money. They cut corners. That's what happened there. And the biggest thing was what was going on with the inspections. There was more shenanigans than inspections going on, and that was part of the problem in the first place. When you look at the Interior Secretary, I've said this enough, with Ken Salazar, who was off rafting when the accident happened. They had to helicopter him out of the Grand Canyon to get him back to be involved in what was going on. Whoops! We didn't realize it was that bad. 11 people died. Oil is spilling out all over the place. They have no way to plug this. The whole world is talking about it. It's looking like it has a chance to shape up to be a horrific disaster. So, and not everybody agrees, by the way, on this commission. One of the top technological disaster academics that they pulled as part of the commission, pulled on the commission, said that there was a cover-up from the White House. And this guy was a Yale University professor who said, you know, the BP's track record of disasters have come after cost-cutting. That it's pretty obvious that there's a long history of money versus safety at British Petroleum. Just look to 2005 in Texas City in that oil refinery explosion where they talked about a culture of cost-cutting at the expense of safety. Remember, there was a bunch of lawsuits that were filed as a result of that. Or a year later, the leak detection that they didn't know about, the lack of it, that caused a massive pipeline spill on the North Slope in Alaska. Then, of course, you have the situation with the oil platform. It's going to be interesting to see what I actually find out when I head to Mississippi. Next week, the show will be broadcast from Mississippi on Wednesday and Thursday from the Gulf Port region, which right there is Biloxi, of course, hoping to chat with the governor and some other folks about what it's been like in the wake of the disaster, how they're bouncing back, what's really, really happening, what they think of the commission's findings, and how did BP leave things? Because that was kind of a mixed bag. Some people were getting checks. Some people were worried they weren't going to get checks afterwards. And remember, forever and a day, the spill dominated what we talked about, the blowout preventer, the cement to seal it up, what was going to happen, the deep water moratorium on deep water drilling, what caused the explosion, all that kind of stuff. And I just laid it out for you, and we certainly know the players in this. Transocean was the rig owner, Halliburton, the cementer. Then you have a slew of others who were part owners of the well, and also Cameron, which was the manufacturer of the blowout preventer. So we haven't heard the last of this, I guess. You know, it's unfortunate that what happens is out of sight, out of mind. But the oil might have stopped leaking, but I think they need to really press this investigation into what really happened, pinpoint it for us. Whose fault is it? And if BP was so negligent, why aren't they facing billions of dollars in fines? Because they should face huge fines if that's the case, and we know it is, based on just some of the preliminary things that were common knowledge. So give me a break. I can't wait to get down to Mississippi just to see what we find out, and also to see if the people have bounced back. I mean, really, what's the case? What's going on in Biloxi? Is it gotten a little bit better? Mississippi, I did a lot of things on Mississippi because I had a couple of friends that, one, lost their livelihoods in and around Biloxi and also talked about, and we've had guests on the air talking about that, talked about the fact that all of the focus, for example, with Katrina was on what happened in New Orleans and Louisiana and not so much on Mississippi. And Mississippi was just slammed during Katrina as badly as New Orleans in a way. There were people whose houses just blew away. They just went away or were washed away. And it killed the economy there, too. But that was sort of the missing, that was the, like the, I don't know what you want to call it, the stepsister to Louisiana. And a lot of people in Mississippi, I think, feel that way. So I can't wait to see what we find out next week on the show. And, of course, we'll be posting all the pictures and we'll be broadcasting from there and whatnot. So we'll bring it all back to you. All right, and finally, it's interesting. George Bush is now on a tour, and he's been out of sight now for a couple of years, for these first 2 years of the Obama administration. And he's starting to get some flack for things that he's saying on shows. And the biggest hit that he's taking is that of all the things when he was asked what was the worst moment when he was president, he said that hit one of his most disgusting moments in his presidency happened in 2005, and it was about Hurricane Katrina when Kanye West criticized him at a Katrina benefit. Remember, West declared during that concert for hurricane relief that George Bush doesn't care about black people, blaming him for the reason that America helps the less well-off as slow as possible. So when he talked to Matt Lauer, that was what he told him. And now that became huge news because Bush said to him, look, he called me a racist. And that was not a great moment. And I didn't appreciate it then. I don't appreciate it now. And he went on to say he didn't like the way, you know, things have happened and blah, blah, blah. But once you write a book, then you're fair game. And certainly he knows that. And he's making the rounds. So there's more interviews to come with Bush and his book. And it was like somebody sent me an email about what Bush's legacy will be. And, of course, the 9/11 is the big thing. And what happened in the wake of 9/11 and the war on terror really started there, the big war on terror. And how he goes down and how he's treated in history, you got to give that at least a couple of decades, I think. You can send me your thoughts on that and some of the other things that we've hashed out here on the show at americatonight.net.
Do you have pain from a soft tissue injury? Would you like to alleviate that pain in 10 minutes? Science has now figured out how to put healing sound frequencies into a kaolin clay and polymer gel. Once applied to the area of pain, frequency signals are transmitted to the area of injury that activates the release of prostaglandin hormones. Your body's own prostaglandin hormones eliminate inflammation and the pain that it is causing. The result is the elimination of pain in 10 minutes for 90% of users. We have thermography pictures to prove its effectiveness. The only alternatives on the market are topical cooling agents that for many are poor performers, often smell bad, may be oily, and do not activate the body's innate response system. If you'd like a superior alternative to alleviating soft tissue trauma pain in as little as 10 minutes, please call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit knockoutpaincream.com. That's knockoutpaincream.com.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
hurricanes, ice storms, blackouts, and the prospect of civil unrest. When the unexpected happens, will you be ready? Hundreds of concerned citizens across America have already installed wind generators to help protect their families in the event of a disaster. So act now and build your own wind generator with an easy-to-assemble kit from WindBluePower.com. WindBluePower carries the best battery-charging wind generators and permanent magnet alternators in the country. Our 12-volt wind generator kits are also great for small cabins and campers. And all WindBluePower kits qualify for a 30% tax credit. So get your discount now. Go to WindBluePower.com today and enter coupon code RADIO for 5% off. Or simply call 800-976-0026. 800-976-0026. Protect your family's emergency energy needs now at WindBluePower.com.
Alex told you the government announced recently that the recession is over. It ended on June of 2009. The millions of Americans unable to find work might not agree. Perhaps the recession ended for the bankers and government employees, but for the rest of us, things seem to be getting worse. Gold and silver haven't heard the news either. They've begun their long-expected journey to the moon. In addition to converting your shrinking dollars into gold and silver, you should consider a food savings account from eFoods Direct. They both make fabulous investments. Food is our greatest dependency, and we know it will be more precious than any financial resource. You and your family need food to survive a crisis, and you can't eat paper, stocks, or metals. Alex has been urging you to invest in delicious, easy-fix meals to enjoy now or save for long-term. This will freeze the cost of your food while you can still afford it. Visit eFoodsDirect.com on the Internet or call 800-409-5633. That's eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Meal, do you automatically reach for salt? That's how my father is. Is everyone on your back about salting your food? So what's the deal on Pepper's Mate? Is it bad for us, or is it a lot of what we're reading about is just slightly exaggerated? So Men's Health Magazine features a story on the truth about salt. One of the editors, Greg Stebbin, joins us to flush out the facts and the fiction. Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm great. Let me put the salt shaker down so I can talk to you.
You know what? A lot of people in my life, mostly men, are big salters. They can't eat. It seems as though they can't sit down, no joke, without salting whatever it is that they have in front of them. My father is the worst. He's thin and he's in shape and all that, but boy, he is big into the salt. And now we're hearing that, geez, this is bad. It's high blood pressure alley when you do that. And, you know, it's kind of, as you describe, a war on salt that we're declaring here in America. So what's this real story?
Well, there really is kind of a salt police or a no-salt police, and there's some irony to this, and this is why we wrote this story. It's called The Truth About Salt. It's in the latest issue of Men's Health. Because the big argument against salt is that it will cause you to have high blood pressure. But you start to believe as you listen to the talk and the propaganda that it's the only thing that causes high blood pressure, when in fact there's another major leading cause of high blood pressure as well, and that is being overweight. And we already know that lots and lots of people in this country are overweight. So you can't just point your finger at salt. Granted, it would be better if you didn't have so much salt in your diet. Nobody's arguing that point. But what's really ironic is if you add some salt to your soup tonight for dinner, mm-hmm. overall 5% of the salt in your diet comes from home cooking, 5%. 12% of the sodium salt comes because it's naturally occurring in foods. And a whopping 77% of salt comes from processed foods and restaurant meals. So you adding a little salt to your dinner is not going to make much of a difference when there's salt in almost everything you eat that comes from a restaurant or a grocery store.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's, I guess, the scary part of that. As you said, 77%, that's incredibly high. So maybe the lesson here is, Greg, don't salt your food when you're at a restaurant, huh?
Well, they already salted it for you. That's yeah. the irony. Well, and here's the thing, Kate. I mean, this whole thing, it's a bit like the whole war on fat we had, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, and all of a sudden fat became a dirty word. But the truth is, some fat is good for you, and you can't live without it. And guess what? Some salt is good for you, and you can't live without it. Your body has no way of making it. So you actually need to eat some salt every day. It is true that we get way more than we need, but for healthy people who don't have high blood pressure, it's probably not a problem. And if it is a problem for you, there's really two ways to deal with it. One is to cut back on how much salt you eat, or the other is to have more fresh fruits and vegetables, because it will increase your potassium, and a higher potassium level in your body will take care of the same problem.
Oh, there you go. Fresh fruits and vegetables, always a good thing anyway. It's funny, you know, you talk about that you need salt. I don't know how many people listening can ever have related to this. If you went on a long hike or something and you took, I remember when I was a kid, we took a bunch of hikes and you had to take salt pills because
tablets,
you were losing,
right.
The tablets, you were losing so much water that you would feel dizzy. That happened to me a couple of times. Once, like doing the Grand Canyon up and down, I was so dizzy, and it was because of that, because I didn't do that. So that there is a lesson to that, huh?
Yeah, there absolutely is, and it's why you find, for instance, sodium in sport drinks. I mean, this is really important to maintain muscle function. It's really important for hydration. And as you said, if you don't have enough salt in your system, because you're constantly losing it, you're losing it through your sweat, and you're losing it through that other way that we get rid of moisture, so to speak. And if you don't replenish the sodium and the water, your blood pressure drops, and like you said, you get dizzy and lightheaded. So salt is important. Some people shouldn't have too much salt. Many of us can deal with it. And the truth is, cutting all the salt out of your diet probably isn't going to cut all the salt out of your diet, because then you're going to go have lunch and it's going to be full of salt.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, one of the things that you talk about with salt, and I didn't realize this, is that it improves texture and color. Explain that.
Well, here's one of the reasons there's so much salt in processed foods and in restaurant meals is it makes food taste really good. I mean, I think we all know that. Although here's a little known secret. If you stop salting your food and just stop salting it for a week or two, you'll actually begin to lose your taste for it. But again, it's not going to make a huge difference overall. But the reason restaurants and food processors use so much salt is it makes the food taste really good. It actually kind of covers up off flavors or bad flavors that come from processing. And it preserves food. It acts as a preservative, and it improves the texture and color so that manufacturers can actually make foods less expensive because they know that it can stay on the shelf and in your cupboard or your pantry longer. And so there are actually some huge benefits to added salt to our foods. That being said, for some people it is a problem and they have to be careful.
Yeah, there's different kinds of salts. Does that make a difference? Like a lot of people switch to sea salt.
Sea salt and kosher salt, those can be better for you only because they have less additives, and it's not a bad idea to switch to those. But again, the amount of salt that you're adding to your food is so small compared to what's being added during processing and at restaurants that, again, it's probably not going to make a huge difference for you.
Yeah, no kidding. And the other thing, too, that I think you can do, and you know this, Greg, there's so many things out there now, even when it comes to spices and and I said at the top, you know, what's the mate to salt is pepper. Too much pepper can't be bad for you unless you put you know, you put too much that to the point where you're sneezing or something. But I can't imagine that pepper's bad, right?
Well, not that I know of, but I do think that ultimately, when it comes to taking care of yourself and living a healthier life, balance is the smartest thing you can do. So if you're peppering your food so much that other people can't eat it, well, and you know what? Actually, now that I say that, it makes me realize that I could imagine that too much pepper, along with things like too much salsa or too much hot sauce, could perhaps cause inflammation in your body, perhaps in the lining of your stomach or something. I'm thinking this off the top of my head.
Sure.
But, you know, we now know that inflammation is a really bad thing. Inflammation in your mouth and your gums, if you don't floss, can cause problems with your circulation in your heart. And you know what? Overspiced foods may do the same thing. Balance and moderation are always really smart things. So, you know, cut back a little bit on the salt just to break yourself of the habit. Don't over-pepper things, but don't panic over salt unless you already have high blood pressure.
Yeah, now you quote, too, some statistics from the Institute of Medicine. How much do they recommend salt-wise that you get every day so you don't get into that fainting thing?
Yeah, so as you said, the Institute of Medicine recommends that you have about 3.8 grams of salt a day. That's just over a half teaspoon. And look, that's not hard. If you eat anything that comes out of a can or out of a box or out of a package, you know, if you eat three meals a day, you're going to hit that much salt very easily. Most of us don't have to worry about getting too little salt unless we're really very athletic. Most people get way more than that. So the problem is not getting too little, and the good news is for most of us, the problem isn't getting too much either. But if you are getting too much, and that's a problem for you, talk to your doctor about having more potassium, because that may be a much easier solution for you.
So then the upshot of this whole thing is really, should we, and you asked this question really, should we be saying bye-bye salt? Should we be outlawing salt? Because there are these big initiatives, and New York City is one of the front runners, but there's a bunch of other cities, too, that are talking about pushing this national salt reduction initiative, which I guess is maybe a little bit too far over the top.
Well, that's really our thinking, too, and I drew the parallel earlier that it's kind of reminiscent of what happened with fat. You know, people start with the best of intentions. Organizations start with the best of intentions. But things tend to get pushed to an extreme. And the extreme here is not acknowledging, A, you know, the benefit of having more potassium, and B, the fact that, you know, there's lots of doctors and medical professionals who say, you know what, your body will process the salt you give it unless you have a high blood pressure problem. And those people need to be taking better care of themselves in all kinds of ways in addition to watching salt. But should we all be forced to eat a low salt diet to cater or help one group of people? That's probably not going to make a lot of sense economically or logistically, because we have a food chain and the way that we get food today is full of salt, and most of us are dealing with it effectively.
Yeah. Now, I know that you're going to go catch some grub later after this interview, so are you going to go salt your food? That's the big burning question.
I have to say, I mean, from personal experience, I'm not a big food salter. I just don't have the habit of picking up a salt shaker and putting it on my food. But I do know that lots of the food that I eat is already very salty. I have to say, when you don't salt food, the flavor benefits of salt, I think, perhaps taste even better, because you don't need as much salt to really enjoy the enhancement. But again, it's not something I worry about. I take care of my health in many other ways. And if you walk away with one tip here tonight, it really is, you know, eat an overall healthy diet, add those fresh fruits and vegetables, increase your potassium, get some exercise, and you know what? This isn't going to be a problem for you, and there's going to be lots of other health benefits as well.
Yeah, exactly. So it seems like everything that we talk about when you and I get together and talk about something you've written and it has to do with health, it comes back to the same thing, that why can't we understand that? Moderation.
Well,
right?
And, you know, get exercise and eat a generally healthy diet. You're absolutely right. We do end up saying the same thing every time, because unless you're willing to do some really crazy, obsessive thing to watch your diet and get exercise, the best you can do is use common sense when you eat and use common sense every day to get a little bit of exercise. And you know what? You'll be a lot healthier than you are today if you're not getting exercise and eating a healthy diet right now.
Boy, truer words were never spoken. Pick it up, Men's Health Magazine. Greg Stebbins, thank you so much for coming on America Tonight.
It's great to be here, Kate.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
GCN and Battery Station are proud to participate in the 8th Annual Christmas Drive for the Troops. This year, we're sponsoring the 171st Alpha Troop Ghost Squadron Sniper Unit high up in the mountains of Afghanistan. The conditions will be cold and miserable for these terrorist hunters this Christmas, but we aim to provide these fine troops with the best Christmas possible. A list can be found at batterystation.com. That includes simple items like gloves, socks, unscented bar soap, toothbrushes, and other necessities. To see a list of more desired items or to make a donation, go to batterystation.com or call 417-257-7799 for more information on how to contribute and help show the 171st Alpha Troop that they may be thousands of miles away in the hills of Afghanistan, but they remain close to our hearts. GCN and Battery Station appreciate everyone's help letting the 171st know how much we care, and thank you from the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Start weekend counts on a golden note. You know, I told you 2 years ago to buy some gold, no matter how much money you had, because look, it's up to $1,400 an ounce. $1,400. Now, my prediction was $2,000 by the end of the year. I don't know if it's going to hit $2,000, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if we're at least in the neighborhood of maybe $16,000, honestly, $17,000, because you gotta have some place to put your dough. Where are you putting your money? We knew this 2-3 years ago. It was like 3 years ago. I think gold an ounce. I was doing some financial work and it was like in 400 something. It's crazy how high. 1400. So pat yourself on the back. On your back, not anyone else's back, your back, if you put your money in gold, because it's paying off big time. You see, like, CDs, there's less than 1%. And how crazy is that? because that used to be a place where at least you get a little bit of kick for your money, but less than 1%. Anyway, a combination of things have created lots of worry among investors, and this is why you're certainly seeing that gold is having a big moment. People are concerned, and they should be, because you're trying to figure out how are you going to make it, what are you going to do. Now you got gold for December delivery added another $550, so that's where it actually settled. The record high was actually $1,403.20 an ounce. Whoo! Yep, come to mama. I like it when my predictions come true, and I have to boast when they do, because it doesn't always happen. You see how I am with football. All right, let's go to Hamid Karzai, the Afghanistan president. Now, we've got a timeline for the U.S. troop withdrawal. There was a roundtable meeting that happened on Monday, and at that roundtable meeting, a date came up, shockingly, 2014. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said the withdrawal timeline is going to be talked about and fleshed out a little bit more at an upcoming NATO deal in Portugal at the end of the month. But right now, the U.S. military is prepared to back the president of Afghanistan's timeline, because that's what he was saying, too, by 2014. 2014 would be the date. Wow. Think of the investment. Where will we be in Afghanistan 2014? Oh, my goodness. And Gates still was kind of dancing around things. He was careful to say, despite a large withdrawal, some of the troops and civilians are going to stay in Afghanistan for a very long time. In fact, he threw this in. He said, we walked away from Afghanistan in 88, and we saw the consequences of what happened in 2001. I told you we'd take some weird twists. We go from gold to 2014. That's a big story, big date, to this crazy thing about the Twinkie diet. First you have Jared and Subway. Now you have a nutrition professor, you heard me right, at K-State University who decided he was going to try an experiment. For 10 weeks he ate like Little Debbie snack cakes. Have you ever had those? Hostess stuff, Dorito chips, sugary cereals, Oreos. And he dropped 27 pounds. 27 pounds in 2 months. That's pretty good. He looks pretty good. He weighs 174 pounds. He's a little bit chubby before that. So he drops all that weight. What's the rub here? And they even checked his cholesterol and the triglycerides and all that sort of stuff, right? And everything was fine. What does it mean? Here's the deal. It's calories in, calories out. So this is what he did. He limited himself to 1,800 calories a day. Normally, he was probably consuming about 2,600 calories a day. So that's what you got to think about. It's very simple. It might not be the healthiest of things to do, but it worked. And, of course, like I said, and as far as some of the tests showed, it didn't kill him with the cholesterol or anything else. And he tried to eat a healthy diet, he said, that included whole grains and fiber and berries and bananas and vegetables and just an occasional treat, and it didn't work. It didn't work. Here's my new deal. I think you do have to eat healthy, okay? Sure, we know that, or it's the calories in, calories out thing. But if you really, really want something, you really, really have to have it, because your brain is just going to crave it, and then that's when you overeat. You guys know what I'm talking about with the whole grubbing thing, when you eat giant orders of fries and giant cheeseburger, and then that's only lunch, and who knows what you eat for dinner. So I think we all get this, that it's about the calorie thing. So the nutrition professor did a convenience store diet, basically, and he lost almost 30 pounds. I wonder how many people are going to jump on that. Now, if I was Hostess, I think I would call them up. Maybe they could do a little Jared exchange. I'm just saying. All right, let's move on. Let's go to Dan in Texas. Hello, Dan.
Kate.
Hello.
Hey, what goes to 220 in only 3.5 seconds?
220 in only 300, I don't know, what?
Michelle Obama's scale.
You are terrible. You're awful. She's tall. She's not a big lady.
Yes, she is. Hey, and her hips are getting wider all the time. I'm on that kind of a sweet diet myself. This morning I started off with German brown chocolate cake, and tonight I ended with German brown chocolate cake.
Ooh.
And I don't think I'm going to lose any weight because my guacamole has about 2,000 calories in one bowl.
Okay. So you're on a seafood diet.
Yes, I am. I'm seafooding it, and I'm eating it all the way. Hey, darling, I got a correction for you. It was Stanley McChrystal that retired with his stars. General Petraeus.
Oh, yeah, Petraeus took over in that.
Yeah, he's still in charge of
Afghanistan.
No, that's not what I was going to say. He's still in charge of Karzaiville.
Yeah.
And Karzai will be coming out with us. Him and his brother will take the money and run.
But you got the reference to the Petraeus. He was the betrayer, and then all of a sudden he has to be ushered back in because you're right, because McChrystal, because of the Rolling Stone magazine article, when the reporter got all the juice on Obama, it forces him out. And like I said, he did retire, luckily, with his stars and bars, because I have more respect for McChrystal, you know, now.
Yeah, well, I have respect for Petraeus as well. And I have very little respect for Hillary Clinton because she said she would have to suspend belief if she was to believe his testimony about the surge working. Of course, it did work, and that's why we left Iraq in the shape it's in now. But personally, you know how I feel about that. It wasn't worth one American life. We should have turned the whole thing into to glass, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
And I agree with you on that. But I'm taking up enough of your time. I'll come up with some more funnies in the future. Oh, salt. Salt. One more thing about salt.
Yes.
Our blood has the same amount of salt as the ocean.
Oh, that's a lovely thing to think about, the comparison.
Well, it does.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right, because you heard how much we were talking about the amounts there of salt, just like in the restaurants and the fast foods, all that stuff. And you're right. And then you think of what's in your bloodstream. Absolutely.
And, you know, you can overdo it on anything. I mean, you know, whether it's the sweets that we love or the salt that we intake or, you know, whatever.
Well, of course. I like that how you leave it like that. Oh, our imagination, whatever. Thanks, Dan in Texas.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, if you have any thoughts about the show, you can send them to us at americatonight.net. Yeah, he's right about that. I mean, obviously, if you're taking in a lot of salt, rather, then of course it's going to get in your bloodstream. I think the most shocking thing out of that whole deal was the 77%. I knew it was pretty high, but I didn't really realize just how high. I mean, I think you think of a container of salt and how much of that salt you have every single day. Although I don't think we should have the salt police or the food police or any of that, because I mean, there's too much intervention as it is, so we don't need that. Already they're taking, what is it, they're talking about fat fines, and they're talking about weighing people at the airlines, which is already ridiculous. Because first you have to get frisked when you go through the airport in the first place, which is something nobody looks forward to, right? That whole enhanced pat-down is so bogus. I mean, it's so brutal. We've talked about that. We talked about that with terrorism expert Mr. Jeff. And you heard what he had to say, Jeff Atticott, how it's insane, the rigmarole that you go through at the airport, and then you think of the holes in the system, like with the cargo and what's happening there. Remember those bombs a couple of weeks ago? Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff.
Hey, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?